I guess it is. It's hard to tell if it's too loud or not loud enough. Anyway, God is so good. He's so faithful, isn't he not? And the name of the song this morning I'm going to sing is Sustaining Grace. I'm not even going to say any more but what the song says. For the cause of Christ, three times being beaten, tortured, oh, what price. But Paul, he remained faithful till he finished the race. Ever before him was God's sustaining grace. Hallelujah. Sustaining grace till the end of it all. Sustaining grace till the last sunset falls. Always there, everlasting, enough to see you through. Sustaining grace is there. Joy in each trial that no man can take away. Hallelujah. There's peace that passeth understanding in each passing day. Love beyond all measure into his face. There is nothing like it, church, because it's God's sustaining grace. Sustaining grace till the end of it. Sustaining grace till the last sunset falls. Always there, everlasting, enough to see you through. Sustaining grace is there.
Thank you, Deanie. We have a young lady who took a medical missions trip. She's going to give us a report. God bless you. Hard to believe she's a freshman in college.
Yeah, started my sophomore year in the fall. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
So I don't really have too much prepared, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for your donations and encouragement and prayers for my medical mission in Costa Rica. It was absolutely amazing. I got to work in a FIMRIC clinic that they have there, and then also 2 days out in like an underdeveloped village where they normally don't get any medical support. And through this, we got to treat medical needs, pharmaceutical needs, and also just health education for them so that they know more, especially there. They don't have any sort of COVID vaccine or anything, so teaching them like safety precautions that they can take in their home or in schools was super helpful. It was a super amazing opportunity, and I couldn't have done it without your support through all of it. And so I just want to say thank you so much. And if you want to see pictures or read a little bit more about it, I do have a newsletter that I made, so you can come find me after and I'll give you one. Thank you again.
Oh, I'm trying to shut it off. It's my mic?
Yeah, it's stored on your mic. I got it muted. It's muted.
Should I try using this one instead?
No, just the handheld with your mic.
Okay, there we're... All right, I got the other one off. Now we're good. Technical difficulties. Too many mics, hey, watch it. Have I forgotten anything, Ruth? I think we got everything covered. All right. Tonight, 6 o'clock over in the Activity Center, we start our summer teaching series on Daniel and Revelation, and you're welcome to join us there. We don't have to worry about it today, but that's air conditioned over there. Somewhere this summer, I hope that we'll need Sunday night some air conditioning. So we'll be over there. And this is the same level of teaching that students at Faith School of Theology received. I taught Daniel and Revelation. It's called Prophecy 1 and 2 at Faith School. And I was honored to have that opportunity because normally that was teaching that was done by Dr. Peer. And when Dr. Peer left the Charleston campus, that fell on me. And I developed a commentary verse by verse through the book of Revelation in my own study so that I could share this material with you. And it'll be a blessing and a source of encouragement to you. And invite those that are wondering what's going on in our world today to come join us. It's going to be in a more casual setting. And some questions and answers will be available. But tonight at 6 over in the Activity Center. Today we're going to James chapter 1. As you're turning there, the title of this message, as you saw in the bulletin, is entitled, There's a Chain on the Junkyard Dog. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. May God add his blessing to the preaching of his word. You may be thinking already, where'd you get that sermon title? Well, it takes me back in my early history, before Ruth was in the picture in my life. My first vehicle that I purchased from a friend was a 1961 Volkswagen Bug. All right? High dollar cost. Paid $100 for it. And I found out later why I paid $100. Only $100. But back then, this was in the late 60s, foreign car parts were not readily available in the United States. And I needed, in the restoration of this Bug, I needed a taillight lens. And the only catalog that I had at the time that I could get any Volkswagen parts from was the J.C. Whitney catalog. But someone told me in Niagara Falls, there is a junkyard that is dedicated to foreign car parts. So I got the family Volkswagen bus and headed to Niagara Falls to the junkyard, stopped inside and got directions to where the man working thought I might be able to find the lens, and walked my way out into the back amongst all these dead Volkswagens looking for the directions that he gave me to find that lens. And as I'm working my way out there, I kept hearing this metallic tinkling. And I'd stop and look around, didn't think anything, and I found the lens. I'm busy taking it off, and I just get it off when all of a sudden, out of the office door, I noticed the fellow that gave me the directions looking my way and going like this, going like this, going like this. And then like this, and I said, okay, I'm coming, I'm coming. And only then did I realize why. Because that metallic noise that I heard was the chain on the junkyard dog as he was positioning himself to make a meal out of me. And as I walked away, I heard that noise again, and then the ferocious growl, and I jumped away to find out that his chain stopped just short from where I was. Hallelujah. Thank God. I still have all of my thighs in place and didn't feed that dog with any of my body parts. Well, what's the point of this, Pastor Mike? We deal in our lives with some spiritual junkyard dogs who are hiding and creeping, waiting for an opportunity to lunge and pounce on us when we least expect it. And I want you to know that just like that junkyard dog, there's a chain on our adversary. He can only go so far. Can you say amen to that? We're going to take a look this morning at what the Bible says about temptation from this passage that was our text in James 1. And then a little bit later at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Everyone has to deal with temptation at one time or another. So you don't need to be embarrassed if you have presently been tempted. But at the same time, I want you to know that you will be tempted. You don't have to give in to temptation. It does not have to take its toll and defeat you. You can be victorious, and I hope by the end of this message that I will give you enough truth to help you understand how you can deal with it and be the victor and not the victim. All temptations we face, all of them can be beaten. God's word gives us hope and promise that we don't have to be conquered by temptation, that we can be the conqueror. I can remember while we were students at Faith School, Dr. Peer communicating to us on one occasion that there is no sin in being tempted. Did you hear that? There's no sin in being tempted. He used to illustrate that by saying,
You can't stop a bird from flying around your head, but you can stop it from landing and building a nest. And we have no control over the thoughts that are flying in the airways around our brain. We do, though, have guardianship over what we allow to enter our mind and we focus on. So our focus today is going to be on these two passages that deal with temptation from a scriptural perspective. The first one is our text. So keep open. I'm going to go verse by verse through some of this. In verse 13, the scripture makes it really clear. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So we understand from this that God is not the source of temptation. Did you hear that? It is not God who is tempting you. I can say that with 100% assurance. You remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about God and said that he is a holy God. That means that there's nothing in him that responds to temptation. And because of that, it's not something he is going to use against us. God is not the source of temptation. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the scripture tells us something about Jesus. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. The three points of temptation is what this is talking about. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus went through those in the garden wilderness temptation. And it was Satan himself who was there to tempt Jesus. And Jesus went through that temptation using the word of God and never bowed one minute to the temptation that Satan was giving him. The reason being is there was nothing inside of Jesus to respond to that temptation. Amen? You getting the picture? God was holy. Jesus was holy. There was nothing in him to respond to temptation. So the scripture makes it real clear. God never, never, never tempts anyone. In verse 16, it says, "Don't be deceived about this." This is an important thing for us to understand, because if the source of temptation was God, then God could be blamed. Hello? Hello, did you hear that? If temptation came from God, God would be at least a little bit responsible if we fell into temptation. But it didn't come from God. It never will come from God. And he's not to blame. Verse 17 goes on to tell us that God, on the other hand, is the source of every good and perfect gift. Temptation doesn't come from God. But every good and perfect gift comes from God. He's the Father of lights, and he never, ever changes. So put that into our understanding about temptation. And what this says is that God has never been the source of temptation. From this day in history, looking back, God has never been the source of temptation. Today, he will never be the source of temptation. And in the future, he will never be the source of temptation. He never changes. Amen. The God we're dealing with is not like the Wizard of Oz. How many of you can remember the Wizard of Oz? How many of you watched it at least a dozen times all through years? Yeah, I can remember it very well. Everyone going to approach him had to wait for the time that they would find him in a good mood, until that little dog gave away the secret and went behind the curtain to find the man who was pulling all the levers. Amen? God is not like that. He never changes. He's always the same. So we can go to the bank with that reality, that the one who does not tempt will never tempt us, but he gives us every good and perfect gift. Getting that behind us is really important. If God doesn't tempt us, Pastor Mike, then where does temptation come from? Well, let's look at verses 14 and 15, and we see the course of temptation in our lives. Verses 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The scripture tells us here that our evil desires, in the original, it reads literally, drag or draw us away. And you may be thinking, away from what? They draw us away from the safe place. Well, Pastor Mike, where's the safe place? Listen to me very carefully. It's as far as you can get from the place of temptation. Hello? You didn't hear that. It's as far as you can get from the place of temptation. It is not walking right up to the edge and leaning over and looking and staying. It makes me a little bit nervous, even with these glasses on. Whoa. Don't want to take a header. I'm not worried about landing. I'm worried about getting up afterwards. Temptation starts in our evil desires, which lead us away from the place of safety. You see, it's not God drawing you to that place of temptation. It's something that's rooted in our fallen nature. Our evil desires entice or seduce us. We think, I won't sin. I'll just get a little closer and find out what's really going on here. It's your sinful nature, the old Adamic nature that goes way back to our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy Adam and his wife Eve. It's that part of us that we inherited from them that allows us to be attracted to bait that Satan places in his traps. You see, bait works only because bait appeals to basic human needs. Anyone here that was ever a trapper? Dave, you've done some trapping. When you baited that trap, you baited it with something that appealed to the animal you were trying to catch. When I go fishing, and I'm hoping to do that really quick, probably won't be this week because we'll be gone, but when I go, I like to use a nightcrawler rig with some nightcrawlers because I've had good luck in Madawaska Stream using nightcrawlers. The worms aren't very appealing to me, and probably not appealing to you, but they're somehow appealing to the trout. It's food that is appealing. So you see, if there's no appeal, it doesn't matter what you use the bait for. And how many of you know when you've been out fishing that when the fish aren't hungry, it doesn't matter what you drop in front of them, they just don't take the bait. So bait only works because it appeals to our basic needs or hungers. Does that make sense to you? We have a basic need called eating food. And the wrong part of that ends up being eating too much and giving over to gluttony. We have a basic human need. God created us as sexual beings and gave us an opportunity to see those needs met inside of the marriage relationship. But the temptation is there because that's a basic need, and Satan wants us to go outside of the marriage to get that taken care of. temptation always appeals to basic needs. Pride is the same way. We all have a basic need to be esteemed and be loved. And Satan tries to take that to extreme by leading us to become so egotistical and proud. It's something that is in us. It appeals to our basic nature. And when we give into satisfying our basic humanity in ways that are outside of God's provision, that's called sin. And that's what temptation bears. Our evil desires focus on something going on inside of us, a weakness that is there, a lust that is there, a desire that has not been taken care of through the blood of Christ and the power of the cross in our hearts and lives that causes us to be lured towards the trap until we step over the line and boom, the trap is sprung. We're caught. It's interesting to me that the Greek word that is used here is salambano. And to me, that sounds almost like a trap when it's sprung. We get to a point because we've allowed the enticement of that evil that we know is wrong to take place because it appeals to something inside of us. So you see, friends, it's not God's problem. It's our problem. It's something that we have to deal with inside of each and every one of us. Our evil desires cause us to get close to the trap, away from the place of safety, and eventually walk right into the trap. And then we find out that simmering lust in our heart causes us to give birth to sin, and we end up sinning against God. The scripture warns us that sin, when it is finished, produces death. Oh, but Pastor Mike, you don't understand. I'm just getting so much enjoyment out of what I'm doing. That's because the pleasures of sin last for a season. But can I tell you, the penalty for sin lasts forever. You ought to think about that. If there's no eternity, then go ahead and do what you're doing. Keep on doing it. But there is an eternity, and there is a judge, and we will face the death penalty for our sins if we give in to it. Romans 6:23 warns us that the wages of sin is death. So you see, this process goes on in us. It starts and seems kind of innocent by just something that triggers something that catches our eye and gets our attention, and we get a little bit closer and a little bit closer. How many of you have ever been to Niagara Falls? Have you ever been to the part that they call Prospect Point? At Prospect Point, you can go right there and stand at the rail, and from there, you can look to your left just a little bit, and the water goes right over the falls, and it drops down for about 200 feet. At that place in Prospect Point, the power of the Niagara Falls causes that rail to vibrate. And you can feel the vibration on your feet when you're standing there. And if you look at that water going down long enough, it has a way to play tricks on your mind and draw you closer and closer to it. Amen. That's why there's a railing there. Amen. What I'm doing today for you is giving you a railing before you step over the precipice to let you know that there is a way of safety for you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. My wife's brought it to my attention that in some of my messages recently, I've been announcing wrong texts. And I want you to know I don't want to frustrate you. I'll work at that and try to make sure I'm staying with my notes. But sometimes my brain goes faster than my fat little fingers can type, and I get messed up in my notes. So I read something off my notes that I wrote wrong or printed wrong. So I will work on that if you bear with me. But 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says this to us. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Someone else has already been there. Someone else has already gone through what you're experiencing. You see, the devil will lie to us. He will tell us, oh, you don't understand. No one in human history, nobody has ever gone through what you're going through right now. Liar, liar, liar. This passage is telling us that temptation and all that it brings to us is common experience of all human. That means not just somebody has been there. Everybody in the past has been there. Everybody in the present will be there. And everyone in the future will be experiencing temptation. So it's not a unique experience that you're having. Someone has been there before. That gives me an understanding that someone has walked out of it before. Hold on to that truth. That's where we start. It's the common experience of all people. And God is faithful. One translation says, but God is faithful. He will not let you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Wow. God knows your ability to resist temptation. And when temptation comes our way, God will not allow the temptation to be more than you can bear. Listen, he's got a chain on that junkyard dog. It can only go so far and it jerks back. I'll never forget how I felt that day when I saw that dog's head jerk back when he came to the end of his chain. And I was about 10 feet away from him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't get it. Didn't get me. God will do that for every temptation that comes our way. You can resist it according to the word of the Lord. Not Pastor Mike's word, according to the word of the Lord. That you can bear up under it. In other words, when temptation comes, you're going to be standing victorious on the other side. And listen to what it says here as this passage goes on. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There is a way out. There is, beloved, an escape hatch. Whew, I like that. Listen to the following verses. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy 6:11. Flee from false teachings that lead you to believe that getting rich quick is spiritual and godliness means you're gaining. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication and all the sexual sins that it includes. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. Why did you read all of those? Because there's a meaning that comes together here from the scripture that's really important. Escape in the Greek in 1 Corinthians 10:13 comes from a compound Greek word, ek basin. Ek means out, and basin means walk out. Hello? You're seeing the way escape? Walk out. Can I give you the Aroostook County, Maine version of that passage of scripture? Your feet got you there. Your feet can get you out. Is it that simple? Yeah, that's what it's telling us. It's giving us a picture. You're walking into it, and all of a sudden you realize where you are. What do? You turn around and walk. And the word flee that we read in four different verses means to get out as fast as you can. In other words, when you realize what's going on, and giving in to temptation is the next. Turn tail and run as fast as you can. Get out of there. Don't even wait to get your coat and gather up your personal belongings. Get out of there. Hallelujah. Get out of there as quick as you possibly can. Your feet got you into it, and your feet can get you out of it. I hope that sets in your heart and mind. Amen. whatever that means for you in the temptation that you're dealing with. Whatever got you in, whatever decision you made that got you started in that path, exercise that same decision to turn it around and head out the other way. And don't wait on it and wait and give it opportunity to simmer. That's a dangerous thing. Get out as quick as you possibly can. I've got a confession, a faith confession for you that I want to read to you, and I'd be glad to give this to you so that you could make it a part of your devotional life. Here's what this faith confession says. God makes a way for me to escape temptation. I do not negotiate with sin. When it tries to call me out and lure me in, I get up and get out as fast as I can. I flee, I take flight, I run away from, I escape as quickly as I can. I flee, I take flight, I run away from and escape as quickly as I can when I know the devil is attempting to lure me into his trap. I put on my jacket, I pick up my things, and I let my feet fly. God has promised to always make a way for me to escape, and with his help, I will always make the right choice and jump through the escape hatch. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? You see, you and I hold the key. We cannot be forced into anything that we do not consent to. God respects our human will. He won't force anything on us. And I want you to understand that the devil can't force anything on us. So that lie that Flip Wilson taught us during Rona Martin Laughing back in the 60s and 70s, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. It's a cop-out. The devil didn't. You decided to do, and you hold the key to saying no to that. And by God's grace and through the teaching of God's word, you just now have a clear path out. You understand that the junkyard dog has a chain and the temptation has a rail so that you won't go over the precipice. There's a safeguard there for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But for some of you that are battling temptation, how many of you know that sometimes it's just an awful, awful struggle? Because we're dealing with things that have been going on inside of us for years. Years doesn't even start. I'm talking about decades. I'm talking about a life. However old you are, you have been battling with temptation all of your life. And if you have been prone in the past to give in to temptation, I want you to know that it's difficult to deal with it now, but you still can deal with it. At some point, you need to exercise your will and let your feet walk you out of it. The first time you do it, it's going to be very, very difficult. Because you see, Jesus taught that when we commit sin, we become a slave or a servant to sin. We started it because we wanted to do it, but we continue it because there's a slavery. And all of a sudden, instead of the junkyard dog having chains, we have the chains. The grace of God will help you walk away from that. And initially, I want you to understand that when you're walking away, the chain's going to try to keep you there. But I remind you that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ has broken the chains. Every handwriting ordinance that was against you, that was written out and says you were guilty, has been taken care of by the cross. The cross took care of it, and the resurrection gives you resurrection power to deal with that fallen nature and give it the death blow. You can walk in victory over temptation. But the only one that can make a decision to start doing that is you. I can't do that for you. I wish I could. One of the things we find out in our outreach ministry to people in the addiction community is that all of us in the outreach ministry want to see them free more than they want to be free. And for a lot of them, to be fair to them, it's they've been in it so long, it's their comfort zone. They know how to live addicted. And when we talk about Jesus setting them free, it scares them because they don't know anything about freedom. And if you're here today and you have been bound by a certain habit that temptation has led you into and you've given into over and over again, it might scare the daylights out of you to face that thing. But I want you to know God in his power can set you free from that, and grace can keep you free. Amen. I started out this journey the last Saturday of October, 1970. And oh, I faced temptation. Yes, I have. I've passed some tests and I've failed some tests. Scripture passage that I have had to use over and over again is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to succeed. I know what it's like to live in victory. And I am glad that whatever happened in the past and how difficult it was to break through something, when you get on the victory side, there's nothing in this world like it. Free now, not to do what I want to do, but free to do what God has called me to do, with no chains, with nothing holding me back. When I'm free, I don't run from someone who's not chasing me. Hello? That's what guilt does. Guilt causes you to run when nobody's chasing you. But God can set you free. Amen? God can set you free. I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. You're here today and you've been really struggling with temptation. You'd like me to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor Mike, I need your prayer. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Hands are going up all around. Amen. Amen. Are you willing to take it one step further? Are you willing to just stand where you are saying, yeah, I'm battling temptation? Because the scripture talks about if we confess our sins, I'm not going to ask you to confess what you're battling, but by standing up, you're saying, I am battling temptation. I need help. Two are standing. There was a bunch of other hands that went up. I'll give you an opportunity to stand. Amen. God's grace is going to help you. God's grace is going to help you today. Because this, my friend, standing to your feet is an act of humility. And the scripture says God gives grace to the humble. But if you're too proud to stand up and admit you need help, the scripture also said God resists the proud. You'll never get help until you're willing to humble yourself in the sight of God. Amen. Anyone else that needs to stand before we pray? Anyone else? Give you just a moment. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these who are standing right now in Jesus' name, who admitted that they're facing temptation, battling against something. And Lord, we come before you for them right now, asking that the Spirit of God, the power that God has provided for them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, would come to bear on this area of temptation in their lives, and that you, Holy Spirit, would do something inside, strengthening their will to resist and walk away and run away from this. In Jesus' name, work in that evil tendency that is there. Help them to put it to death, to stop feeding what triggers this, and to see the victory that Jesus Christ comes, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus. Touch them today. Let grace flow into their hearts and lives that frees them from this. Hallelujah. That from this day on, they'll walk more and more and more each day in the victory that Jesus Christ has provided. We know that it's there for us because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Do your work in these, my friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would everyone stand? Would everyone stand? Thank you, Lord.